thunderous team, Lord. I thank you, God, that you are arranging weather patterns, God, so they can get where they need to go when they need to get there. I thank you, God, for wisdom, for safety. Thank you, Lord, for a safe flight. And I thank you, Father, that plane's not going to take off until it's the right time. In Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord, that your grace is on them while they wait. I pray they wouldn't have to wait in that plane for a long time, but I pray, Father, you just make a way for them, Lord. And God, we just love you. We love you. We love you. We pray, God, that you would just give us ears to hear what you're saying to us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for every life that's here. Thank you, Lord, for each person that's here. Thank you. You brought them here, Lord, to draw near to you, God. You're always drawing us closer to you. And I pray, Father, just thank you, Lord, for the beautiful time of worship. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our hearts and just the time of refreshing that that was. And I pray, Lord, as we listen to your word, that you would just stir our hearts, challenge us where we need to be challenged, convict us where we need to be convicted, encourage us where we need to be encouraged. And God, we just look to you. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear what you're saying to Hope Church today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, we're in the middle of a series called Uncommon Generosity, and David has been teaching the last several weeks. And just as kind of like a matter of review, our main scripture, our main text is this, Proverbs 11, 24, and 25. It says this, one person gives freely, yet gains all the more, yet another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So we've defined uncommon generosity as this, the out of the ordinary ability to show a readiness to give more than what is expected. So it's out of the ordinary. And so we all know, I'm sure we've all encountered generous people different times in our life, and we've had generous seasons in all of our own lives. And then we've all had stretch times in our lives where we kind of live like this, you know? And whether that's because of just some hardship or whatever. And when we talk about generosity, we're not talking about only money. And so that's immediately where most people go is you think, well, this is all about money. But no, it's so much more than that. We're talking about a generosity as a lifestyle. So David talked about being generous with your heart. The first week he introduced it. The second week he talked about being generous just with your heart and with your love and the way you love other people. Because there are people that live their lives just like this. And you live just for yourself, maybe out of self-preservation, who knows why, but you live just kind of like this. And then David last week talked about being generous with your money and with our finances. Then today we're going to talk about being generous with our words and generous with what we say. And then actually next week, Craig is going to teach on being generous with your time. So these are just some different ways, but David talked about generosity is a matter of the heart. And God has shown each one of us uncommon generosity, way more than we deserve. Isn't that true? Even during worship, I was here and I was just worshiping God and I was thinking, you know, all right, God, you know, I feel like I'm in I'll just be totally brutally honest. I feel like I'm in a really good place, you know, because I really prayed a lot this morning because, you know, David and Rachel, we were up at like 5 something in the morning. So, you know, that gives you plenty of time to do everything you need to do, and you still have time to left over to pray. So I spent a bunch of time just in prayer and just in God's presence and worshiping God, just really nice time. So I'm feeling good because we all know that's what we're supposed to do, right? You know, we're supposed to spend time with God. You know, and I spent a bunch of time in the Word this week preparing for this message, and, you know, so it's just reviewing all those things in my mind. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of like feeling like I'm in a good place. And the Holy Spirit felt like the Holy Spirit said, you know, that's all great, but it all falls short. It all falls short. No matter how great of a place that you're at right now, no matter how terrible of a place that you're at right now, we all fall short. Because it's all by God's mercy and by God's grace. God doesn't love us based on our performance or accept us more because we do right. He doesn't accept us more because we're generous. He doesn't reject us because we're not. But God lives generously with us, and he lives with us like this, and he is open-handed with us. And so God asks us to be open-handed with everything, with all these areas of our life, to live a life of uncommon generosity, that we share of our heart, we share of our life, we share of our time, we share of our money, we share of our words, and we live open-handed because God's shown us uncommon generosity. How many of you guys has God been uncommon, like more than you deserve in every area of your life? We don't get what we deserve. Thank God we don't get what we deserve. You know, you don't have to be alive for very long to feel that way. That just thank God for his mercy and his kindness and his grace towards each one of us. So today, as we talk about uncommon generosity with our words, you know, when you were a kid, you know, because my mom's here, I can say this, you know, kids in the neighborhood, we all grew up with kids in the neighborhood, most of us. Kids in the neighborhood aren't always nice, are they? No. And little friends, I had a circle of, there were three girls all the same age. Three is not a magic number when it comes to young friends, is it? And everyone knows three is not the number. You really need even numbers in your friendship circles. And so three, that my whole growing up for years, isn't this true, Mom? There were always two of us pitted against another one. We'd play all nice for like an hour or two, and then it would just go wrong, you know? So somebody would say something, somebody would do something, whatever, you know, there's always you know, alignments or alliances being made. So, you know, they'd say something, somebody would say something, and what would they'd say something mean, you'd be like, they're my feelings. When you say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is not true, is it? That is not true. That's a lie. There, Mom, you lied to me. You know, you told me a lot of good things, but you lied there. Just tease this friend. So sticks and stones, you know, words do hurt. And we all, we've all been alive for more than a minute to know that the words that people say have impact. So, well, let's look. I want to just open up with a historical reference. And back in World War II, when this was in 1940, when the Nazis were moving across Europe. They'd come and they were moving across. They'd taken all these other countries. They're moving into northern France. And as they're moving into northern France, basically they outflanked the British and the French had become allies. So the British had come over, sent lots of tanks and lots of guns, lots of troops, just all sent all this over, and they're allied with the French to push back the Nazis. So as they're fighting, basically the Nazis outflank them. And the French and the British were basically nearly done for. So in a weird, now we know, supernatural turn of events, at that point when the Nazis had them, they took 3 days before they pushed forward to all the way to the coast. For whatever reason, and it's really controversial, like they say it was a bad decision on Hitler's part, but then like Hitler, you know, they said, well, he wasn't even really involved, it was these guys, or blah, blah, blah. But basically, they sat there for 3 days, the Nazis, and let the French and the English were there on the coast, and at that point, basically, they were just sitting ducks. But that 3 days gave them time that they came across the channel. And they're actually made a movie's coming out about it called Dunkirk. And they went and fishing boats, passenger boats, I mean everything, along with all the British Navy. They're trying to ferry get as many British and French soldiers out of there before they're basically captured or killed. So in those 3 days, they evacuated 330,000 soldiers from the coast because they waited those 3 days. And the French forces actually stayed, and they helped kind of fight them back a little bit longer. So all those guys, and 30,000 to 50,000 French troops were captured. But it was such a devastating defeat for the British and for the French, because the French lost northern France. It was so devastating that that England actually discussed, like on the table was a conditional surrender to Germany, on the table. Like, how our world would have been different. This is at the beginning, in 1940. Everything would have been different for us now if that would have happened. And so, and they lost, not only that, but the British Army lost tanks, transport, guns, everything, because they couldn't, the soldiers were waded out to here, waiting to get onto the boats in the, you know, in the French coast, just trying to get on the boats to save their lives. So they had to leave everything behind. It took the British like 2 years to recover all the stuff that they lost so they could keep fighting. It just was devastating. So, Winston Churchill, what did he say? This is like after everyone's evacuated, after they've done the evacuation, this was Churchill's speech. He said this: "I have myself full confidence that if all do their duty, if nothing is neglected, and if the best arrangements are made, as they are being made, we shall prove ourselves once again able to defend our island home, to ride out the storm of war, to outlive the menace of tyranny, and if necessary, for years, if necessary, alone. At any rate, that is what we are going to try to do. That is the resolve of His Majesty's government, every man of them. That is the will of the Parliament and the nation. The British Empire and the French Republic, linked together in their cause and in their need, will defend to the death their native soil, aiding each other like good comrades to the utmost of their strength. Even though large tracts of Europe and many old and famous states have fallen or may fall into the grip of the Gestapo and all the odious apparatus of the Nazi rule," kind of like that, "we shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and the oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight," here it is, "we shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. And even if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on our struggle until in God's time the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and liberation of the old." So those words that Winston Churchill spoke turned the tide. They rallied the nation and began to turn the tide. There were words of such a fight. What if he would have gotten up and said, "Guys, we're thinking about surrendering"? What would that have done to everyone's hearts? It would be different, wouldn't it? But his words rallied the nation, the British nation. And so words have power. From Psychology Today, this is a quote, they said, "Words have power. Words cannot change reality, but they can change how people perceive reality. Words create filters through which people view the world around them. A single word can make a difference between liking a person and disliking a person." We'll agree with most of that. And so we're going to dive into that a little more. I agree with a lot of what psychology says today, but I think there's a little more to it. So what is God? Let's take a look at what God says about our words. We'll start here in Proverbs 18:21. We all know this scripture, or most of us know the scripture. "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Our words have power. So the part of what psychology today says we agree with is the fact that that words do change our perception of reality. But we also know that words can change our reality. We know that our words have power. The words that we say have power. Proverbs 25, verse 11 says this: "Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word rightly spoken in circumstance." So words can be beautiful. You can paint beautiful pictures with your words. God tells us what to say and what not to say. Ephesians 5, 4, "Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or crude joking, which are out of character, but rather thanksgiving." That's to do with what we say. Ephesians 4, 29, "Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, only what is helpful for building up one in need and bringing grace to those who listen." So God's given us instruction about what we say. And then in Luke chapter 4, verse 22, this is said about Jesus: "All spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that came from his lips." Isn't this the son of Joseph? Jesus spoke gracious words. Isn't that wild? He had a reputation for gracious words. So what we say makes a difference, because we're talking about being generous with our words. So God is so concerned about what we say. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this: "Let's therefore encourage and build one another up just as you already are doing." To encourage means that you infuse, basically you're giving someone courage. How incredible is it that through our mouth and through our words, we can give someone courage. That's powerful, isn't it? You can give someone courage. You can build someone else up. You know, the picture is you got, you know, like the little blocks you'd play with or the Legos or whatever. You know, you build, you make something, or even building a brick wall or building, you're creating something, you're building, you're creating something. Our words have the power to build something up. And I'm not only talking about speaking out in faith, what you don't see. I'm talking about every day in your life, in every circumstance, everywhere we go. Our words have power. Our words bring life, or our words bring death. Does that mean that our words have the power, life of power and death, life and death is in the power of the tongue? Does that mean it's only like for church, only while we're at church, we just are careful with what we say? No. Is it only when we're like in small group or church-related Christian things? No. No. But most of us, we're careful. We're more careful about what we say when we're kind of here, aren't we? Don't we? Yeah, we're a little more careful. And so, but what if we committed to speak life and not death into our friends? What if we made that commitment that we were going to be a person that built up, that brought courage into our friendships while we're talking to our friends? What if we decided we were a person that committed to bring courage and life and build up our spouses, for those of us that are married? What if we decided that we were going to be a person that built up and brought courage and life versus death into our children? What if we decided we were going to bring life versus death, encourage and build up our coworkers? What if we decided to be generous with our words? We could change everything around us. You could change the whole atmosphere. Have you ever walked into a room and people have been talking negative, maybe about you, or maybe just about some stuff, you know, the whole atmosphere, and you can feel the tension when you walk in the room. You know, you can feel it because your words have power. They have power. Years ago when I was on a youth trip, the person who was hosting us had us do this exercise, and he called it the circle, not the circle of life. That's the circle of life. It's not that. It wasn't that. He called it words of life. And so what we would have to do is we all would sit in a circle. Whenever we'd kind of have downtime throughout the I think it was like a four-day trip, we'd have an hour or two here while we're waiting to do the next thing or whatever. He said, all right, over these next 4 days, you have to sit in the circle whenever you have downtime, and we have to go through each person. Each person has a turn. And let's say we'd pick Rebecca. And Rebecca was on the trip with us. We'd say, all right, guys, it's Rebecca's turn. And each person who went on the team would go around and speak words of life over Rebecca. So they would say something like, Rebecca, you really encouraged me when this happened. Rebecca, I've always admired how you are so generous with your time. Rebecca, I've always admired how you're, you know, and you speak life over each person around the circle. We did that over the course of 4 days. I watched those words of life transform those students' worlds. So many of them. I had one student right now I'm thinking of who was on the trip, and he struggled. This kid struggled, and I struggled with him. Everyone struggled. You know, he was like, he felt the world was against him. And so then he acted like the world was against him. And actually, honestly, he was one of the students, when you found out he was going on the trip, you went, okay, with conditions you can go. You know, he was the one. I gave him conditions. We made an agreement between me and his parents. I mean, it was all conditional. But I watched this young man as people went around and they were generous with their words and spoke life into him. His perception and his whole attitude and demeanor changed. The way he interacted with people changed as he heard life spoken into him. And so, you know, many times, many of us, we've dealt with rejection. We've dealt with insecurity and fears. You don't know what lies are going on in our minds, in each of our minds. So you have someone comes and speaks a word of life, that, and you just had some really terrible thoughts in your mind. I mean, there's so many stories that about students, and particularly students who were really discouraged or maybe contemplating ending their life. And you have a friend or someone who shows them extraordinary kindness at right that right moment, and it changes the course of their life. And so our words have power. And we never know the moment anyone is at, that we can have that word that's a beautiful and a freeing and a life-giving word that we speak into someone else's life. And to you, it may feel awkward. Or to you, it may feel maybe false. Or it even may feel like, just like, oh, I don't even want to say that. They'll think that's stupid. Does that matter? No, speak life. We speak life. I think about this too. Like my dad passed away 4 years ago this past May. And at his funeral, or at his memorial service, a few people got up and just shared what my dad had meant to them. My dad was always a quiet guy. He was quiet, wasn't he? He had just started serving God when I was in high, really graduated from high school. Before then, he was kind of, yeah. Well, anyway, we just, yeah. So, but anyway, so he just started kind of serving God and attending church, and then went through just hell and back, and just career, just terrible, really dark days. We all went through some dark days, and then my dad got a job, and the church that we went to was just a new church, and they just got in a building, and so the pastor, who was still a wonderful man, very kind, he just said, "Well, Troy, if you want to come, and we'll just contract you to do some work around here. We need this kind of stuff cleaned up or that stuff." And he just was giving my dad just some work and showing him kindness. And that slowly led to a job. And so my dad worked for them. How many years did he work for St. Louis Family Church? Like 15 years. So, and he retired from there. But he was a custodian. He was basically a custodian. He did custodial stuff and maintenance stuff, but he did it with all of his heart, and he did it under the Lord. And so, not always with the greatest attitude, but he did it with the whole heart for the Lord most of the time. But it was amazing because at his funeral, people got up and they shared about what a difference and impact my dad had made in their life. And to us, that was such a treasure. But you have to think, man, Dad probably would have enjoyed to have heard this stuff too, you know? I'm sure on the other side of eternity, maybe God let him get a glimpse and he could hear the things that people were saying about him. But don't wait, don't wait until it's too late to share words of life or the impact someone's had or just to be grateful to people. Don't wait. Just do it now. Just do it now. Live a life. What if we spoke the words that we'd want to say about someone at their funeral now? And several times throughout their life. How would that encourage the people that were around? How would that build up our spouses or, our kids or our parents or our friends or coworkers? Or it would make such a difference. So that's being strategic in the words that we say. And we can choose to be strategic in the words we can say. We can write notes. We can take a moment, send a text message. We can pull someone aside and be thankful for them. But what about in the heat of the moment? Words in the moment. Why is that so much harder? Because it is. It's hard in the moment, isn't it? How many of you have ever been hurt and said something you regretted? All of us. How many of you have ever been angry and said something you regretted? All of us. How many of you have ever been excited and said something you regretted? How many of you have ever just been feeling good and committed to stuff that you regretted? Yes. Yes. We all have. So why is that? Jesus gives us the key. In Matthew 12, 34 through 36, and this is going to be up on the screen too, I think. Jesus said this, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? Listen to this, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." The good man brings good things out of the good store of treasure. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil store of treasure. I tell you that men will give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. And all the air left the room. We all feel a collective. And so, if you're a believer, you feel that, you know, because you know what that means. But Jesus made it real clear that we speak. So in the moment, we speak what comes out of our heart. So what do we have growing in our heart? Bitterness, maybe some unforgiveness, maybe some jealousy, maybe some anxiety, maybe some fears. That stuff growing in our heart, and the moment that you get that press, it may not be in general to the whole world, it may be just towards one person. And then you get a press from that person, and then what comes out? You explode on them, right? But it's because there's stuff growing there in your heart, in the garden of your, because each of our heart is like a garden, and things grow there. Life is there. And it's up to us what we let grow. There are things that are growing there that should not be growing there in some of our hearts. And then there are in some of our hearts, there are things growing there that should be growing there, like love. How many of you have ever just been around someone and they tell you something and you just cry with them and you're just with them and that's love flowing out of your heart for the people around. That's love that's there. Peace. Something happens and you just peace exudes from you. Why? Because that's something that you've planted there. We've planted God's word. We've let the Holy Spirit let that stuff grow. But if that stuff isn't what comes out, if you notice from someone, and maybe someone close to you, maybe your spouse or one of your kids or a good close friend, that when something happens in the moment, something really ugly and disgusting comes out, that's a good time. You ask the Holy Spirit, what's growing there that should not be there? And do a little check. Just say, God, do I need to forgive? Am I afraid? Are there some things I need to take to you to pray through? Is there some stuff I'm angry about that I need to work on, that we need to work on together? But we have to realize that we speak in the moment out of the abundance of our heart. And there are some things that go so deep in our hearts that we claim them as part of us. I just say, well, that's just me. I just lose my temper really fast. Well, maybe you always have. Or maybe that's just me. I just always blah, 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 fill in the blank. Well, that could be something that's there, that's been just been there for a long time. But when you begin to come aware of it, you can be free. You can be healed. That doesn't have to be your response every time that your spouse brings up money that you fight. It doesn't have to be your response every time that your kid does this that you just get super angry. Or that doesn't have to be your response that every time your boss or coworker does this, that this is, it doesn't have to be that way. But it'll stay that way until you dig up what's in your heart and you deal with that stuff that you've let grow in your heart. It'll stay that way. So let's read another passage here. In Ephesians 4:28, Paul has given some instruction to some newer believers. And he says this, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing good with his own hands, that he may have something to share with the one in need. So we'd all agree with that. You make a new decision. You bring some change in your life. We're like, yes, on board with that. The very next verse, though, says this, the connecting verse. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up the one in need and bringing grace to those who listen. Now, wait a minute. We were all on board with the stealing. Yeah, no more stealing, no more stealing. But, okay, hold on just a second. This means that we're supposed to not let any unwholesome, any not helpful talk come out of our mouth for the people that we're around. Can we filter what comes out of our mouth? I mean, yeah. But if we couldn't, then this command would be unfair because it would be impossible, wouldn't it? But it isn't impossible. But it's not something that comes easy, is it? No. But when it comes down to the choice of what we're going to do, are we going to speak life? Are we going to bring life? Are we going to bring courage? Are we going to build up? or are we going to tear down? Are we going to bring death with the words that we say? Even sometimes speaking the truth in love could be you just feeling really mad at that person and you're trying to justify it in your own heart, you know, for whatever you're saying. Now, there is a time that we speak hard things to people. There is a time for that. I'm not negating that. But certain personalities have less of an issue with that. Some, you know, some of us are just natured that we just are very straightforward and blunt with our words, you know. Well, for you, this may be a little harder. And then there's other people that you're natured more tenderhearted, or maybe you've just been more hurt by words. And so you measure your words and you calculate your words carefully. And you, this may not be quite so difficult for you. But for some of us, this is really quite a challenge. But it's not impossible. It is possible. It is possible for us to be generous with the words that we say and to bring life where we go. So what incredible power. We can change things. We can change things. We can change people's lives with our words. So just a couple other scriptures before we just kind of talk about how we become uncommonly generous with our words. Proverbs 15:23 says this: a man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. Our words can bring joy and delight to people. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Isaiah 50, verse 4 says this: the Lord God has given me the tongue of the disciples, or the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. You can have a word that somebody can be worn out and ready to quit. And the Holy Spirit can give you a word that'll carry that person on through whatever it is they're walking through. One word. One word. And sometimes that can come just in casual. It may for you feel like casual conversation. But you, it's because we choose to become generous with our words. And then Proverbs 12:25 says this: anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. So words can counter anxiety and worry in our hearts. Good word can counter anxiety in your heart. A good word can counter anxiety in your spouses, in your friend, in your coworker, in your kids, and the people that you're around. A good word can counter those things. So how do we become uncommonly generous with our words? Where do we begin? Number one, we consecrate our words. Psalm 19:14, David prayed this: may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So where do we start? We consecrate. God, I give you my mouth. God, I give you my words. Take my words, take my mouth, Lord. Let my mouth today be an instrument of life everywhere that I go. Let my mouth bring life into everyone that you interact with throughout the day, Lord. Let my words bring life. Give me words of life everywhere that I go. You consecrate your mouth. Number two, ask God for wisdom in what you say. James says this: if we ask for wisdom, he'll give to all generously and without reproach. Colossians 4:5-6 says this: act wisely towards outsiders, redeeming the time. But let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, that you know how to answer everyone. Number three is this: tend to the garden of your heart. Take care of what's growing in there. Take responsibility. You see, you feel strong reactions. Process, God, why? Holy Spirit, show me what's going on in there. What do I need to do? Who do I need to forgive? Am I not trusting you, God, in this area? Am I carrying this, holding on to this when I need to release this, God, to you? Is there someone that I need to talk to? Is there someone I need to forgive? But just take that stuff to the Lord and let him help you. The Holy Spirit, he knows what's going on. He knows what's growing in there. But he'll show you and he'll help you to change those things. And so as you begin to become more generous in your words, many times, especially if you're not someone who's used to speaking kind words or to being generous with your words, it may feel false, it may feel awkward. But remember, those are feelings, and you just push through. And so you can do this and you can make changes in the smallest ways. Like you can at the dinner table, if you're family, you're sitting around, everybody's around, just take time, just go through. If you're the mom or the dad, just say, hey, I just want to take a minute and I want to just go through and I just want to tell each of you what I see in you and what I just want to just tell you guys some stuff about you that I see. And just speak words of life over your kids. Just tell them. And over your spouse. Be generous with your words with your spouse. It could be that maybe just with your friends, even just with your friends, you're all having a time together. Hey guys, let's just take a minute and let's just speak some words of life. Let's just take a minute and just tell each other, you know, what we love about each other, what we appreciate each other before their funeral. You know, let's just take some time and just speak life. Even if your relationship is strained, this stuff, speaking life, can bring incredible healing and freedom by your words. So what if you're in the middle of a circumstance, something's going on and everything is falling apart? What if you're the one that has to say, okay, guys, let's pray. All right, I know God has delivered us in the past. He's going to show us what to do. I know God has provided for us in the past. He's going to take care of us. I know that God is, you know, we were, when the tornadoes came, you guys remember when the tornadoes came a couple weeks ago? Yeah, so it was Wes, Maddie, Sammy, and I in the car. I went to go pick them up. We're driving back to the house, and so the sirens are all going off. And so then David calls me and says, Julie, where are you? And I said, well, I'm driving down Bell's Ferry. He said, well, that's right where the path of the tornado. So the level of panic in our car went from here to like here. And so I said, okay, thanks, hon, we'll go another way. So we're going a long way, and we're like, all right, we're going to stay way over here, and we're looking on the radar and stuff. And so we go this long way around, and we get to this, get inside this grocery store and kind of go hang in the back till everything is all settled. But it's amazing because when we're in the car, we began to talk about, no, guys, God takes care of us, didn't we? We can talk about the Psalms where God puts angels and he protects us and he delivers us and he's going to take care of us. And as we began to talk about that stuff, the whole feeling, the sense in the car began to change, didn't it? And we got into the grocery store and these guys were all like, hey, maybe we should just kind of sing some worship songs and just kind of, you know, yeah. And then as they were kind of singing worship songs in the grocery store, they mentioned you, Terry. They were like, this is what Terry Dove would do. That's what they said. And so we were there, and so we're in the, you know, so, I mean, and then it became fun, and we just laughing, we spent way too long in the grocery store, just like walking around, waiting for, and then they just kept extending, it felt like forever, and they blocked off the road, and we had to wait. But it was fun, and we were fine, weren't we? But it's amazing because we began to speak life, and then like one of the kids pulled up the radar, and they were like, hey, look, right where we're at, it's all around us, the storm is all around us, wasn't it? And so... But it was because we began to speak life, and it brought peace in that. And I'll be honest with you. I could have yielded very easily to panic at that moment. You know, it was there. It was definitely there. And so, God, you've always been faithful. You've always protected me. You've always taken care of me. And then we began to talk about that together. And it's amazing because that peace and that life is contagious. And it was. And so... So your words, as you go through life, you guys, in the moment, strategic words, they are so important. And so I want to tell you guys today, let's commit to become people that are generous with our words. You don't have to be negative. You don't have to be the realist. What if, I mean, maybe you have to, you know, I mean, there are times where you just don't go spend all your money. You know, we're not going to go out to eat again. No, we're not going to, you know, I mean, I'm not talking about living unwisely or unscrupulously. I'm talking about being generous with your words and saying, God always takes care of us. Or, listen, I just really love and appreciate you and all that you do. And speak life. So as we close, I want everybody just to stand up, and we're just going to take a minute. And if, Brian, would you wouldn't mind, or Craig, somebody come on, just come play a little something while we just close this. We're going to address two things. Number one, we're going to just take a minute right now and ask God what's growing in our hearts. And if there's something that we've allowed to grow there towards someone, I believe right now the Holy Spirit can show us. And we can take care of stuff right now. And then we're going to close this all out with just a prayer of consecration, us just consecrating our mouths and our words to God, to a fresh commitment, to speak life to all the people that we're around, everywhere that we go, that we speak life and encouragement to people. And so everybody, just close your eyes, just so we can kind of focus, just kind of focus on the Holy Spirit. Right now, Holy Spirit, just like You were there at creation and You were hovering over the waters and doing work there. Holy Spirit, right now we ask You that You just come and just come in our hearts and hover over us. Holy Spirit, where there are things that we have let grow there that shouldn't be there, right now, Holy Spirit, just start bringing it up. Show us people, faces. Some of you are starting to see faces and starting to hear whether it's unforgiveness or you just know, I need to forgive that person. I need to forgive myself. Maybe you're carrying anxiety and fear, and you need to release that to God, and God's saying, hey, give that to me today, right now. This is the time, right now. Maybe there's some sin, some stuff that you've been participating in that's had a hold on you. And it's time right now to repent. Release that to God. Maybe some unworthiness, some shame. Holy Spirit, we give You permission right now. Search our hearts. Search us, Holy Spirit. Now, whatever that is, if there is something there, now You just quietly, just You and God, You take care of that with Him. And so you right now, with your eyes closed, your heads bowed, you talk to Him about that. And if it's a hurt, something rooted in a hurt, then you invite Jesus, I invite You in to heal that. Someone you need to forgive, just say out of your mouth, I forgive them and I release them. Some anxiety, some stuff you need to cast onto care, cast your cares, release to God. You just release it to Him. And know that God cares for you. God cares for you. None of us measure up. None of us are worthy enough, no matter how hard we try. So, Father, right now we receive Your love. We receive Your care. Your nurture and Your cleansing. Holy Spirit, we invite You in to heal. We invite Your words of life now into our hearts and into our minds. And there are times when it's time just to get quiet before God. And you may have, for you, it may be getting up early in the morning before your house stirs if you've got a busy house. For you, it may be staying up late at night, or if you're a mom, young kids, when everybody's finally asleep, where it's time for you, when there's a million other things that we could be doing, to just turn everything off and get quiet and just say, God, what are Your words of life for me? And sometimes it'll just be one word. It may be something like daughter. It may be just something like freedom. And maybe something like forgive or receive or I care for you. Maybe a scripture. It may be a song. It may not even be a Christian song. But God will speak to you as a father speaks to a child. Because He is your dad. And He'll speak to you maybe through other people. But He wants to speak to us. But we have to get quiet and let Him speak words of life to us. What we need to hear. When that happens, if you can, grab a pen and a paper and write down that word or write down those thoughts. Just let it flow. Or maybe if you've got your phone on you, just open the little notepad and just type in a couple of thoughts. And then just go back to it over and over and over. And just go back to it. Let God speak that life to you. Because He's the ultimate life speaker. I mean, at creation, He's the one who said, let it be, let there be. And life came. So this is all started by him. And he's the one that gives us power to speak life or death in our words. So let's just take a moment in closing. And if you, first of all, if you're here and you aren't, you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, and this isn't joining the church, this isn't anything other than just, you just say, I don't know if I've ever really asked Jesus to have control, or maybe I did a long time ago, but I definitely have been living my life for me, and I haven't been yielding my life, but I want to give my life back to you, Jesus, and I want to live for you, not for myself, but Jesus, I want to live for you. I want to live for your kingdom. I want to be a life giver everywhere I go. I want to receive your love. So if that's you, with everybody with your eyes closed, if that's you, and you just say, and again, this isn't joining the church, I'm not going to call you down to the front or anything like that, but if that's you and you say, that's me, I need to just kind of yield back to God. If that's you, you just kind of look up at me real quick, and we're going to pray. All right, I want everybody just repeat this after me. Everybody say this. Say, God, forgive me for all my sins. Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord, to be the boss of my life. I believe you died on the cross and you rose from the dead. And I yield my life and my heart to you. In Jesus' name. Now let me just close out by leading, let's just lead us in a prayer of consecration of our mouths back to God. And so if that's what you'd like to do, then just repeat this after me. Say, God, I give you my mouth. I give you my lips. I give you my words. Teach me to be a generous person with my words. Teach me how to speak life. You know how. You're the original one. And you're going to teach me how to speak life and how to bring life everywhere that you take me. In the moment and in strategic times, give me words that bring life, that encourage, that sustain, that are beautiful, that are wholesome. I repent for where my words have caused damage and death. And I ask you for healing, that you'd heal those relationships, that you'd bring life there. In Jesus' name, my mouth is yours. Use me, God, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you guys, well, you're dismissed, and have a wonderful 4th of July, and we'll see you guys all next Sunday.